blind Bartimaeus stood by the wayside begging.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
The more that they pressed him, the louder he'd shout, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Today I believe I can see. And he's more than enough to make the blind man to see. He's more than enough to guide you and me.
Said she's dying, leave the master alone. His loved one was dead, his heart was so grieved. He said, be not afraid, but only believe. Then he said to the child, I say unto thee, arise, I believe she's alive.
And he's more than enough to make the blind man to see. He's more than enough to guide you and me. He's more than enough.
Thank God, neighbor, aren't you glad that he's more than enough?
He's more than enough to feed a family like mine. He's more than enough to heal all disease. He's more than enough to wash the sin out of me. Blind man to see, he's more than enough to guide you and me. He's more than enough to turn the water to wine. He's more than enough to feed a family like mine. He's more than enough to heal all disease. He's more than enough to wash the sin out of me. He can raise up the dead and give them new life. Jesus is more than enough. He can raise up the dead, give them new life. Jesus is more than enough.
Well, praise God, I want to tell you, neighbor, if that doesn't light your fire, it's because your wood's wet. Hello, neighbor. Welcome to our broadcast today. You're listening to the Spirit of Truth broadcast with Pastor Andrew Kerrigan of the Morning Star Baptist Church down in Pacolet, South Carolina. And whether you're listening down in Wilmington, North Carolina, or out in Watertown, South Dakota, or in Greenville, South Carolina, or over in Asheville, we're delighted to be able to come to you by way of radio. Why don't you call a friend and invite them to listen? We're on this broadcast every week at the same time, and neighbor, it's our desire to be a blessing to you, to just share with you the Word of God and be a blessing. If you're lost today, I want you to know that we're praying for you, that the Lord will convict your heart of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, that something that's said in the gospel will touch your heart, and like that old Philippian jailer, you'll want to be saved by the grace of God. I've been saved for over 46 years now, and I want to say, my friend, the best thing ever happened to me was that day when I met Jesus Christ. And then you that are saved, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our theme of this year is pleasing God, and it's our desire to want to walk uprightly and to please Him. And surely, as we bring these radio broadcasts to you from week to week, we want to encourage you to walk by faith and believe God in order that you may please Him. So neighbor, if you'd like to contact us, if you'd like to write to us, you can do so by writing to Pastor Andrew Carrigan, Morningstar Baptist Church, Pacolet, South Carolina, zip code 29372. Or you could email us at our email address is simply andrewcarrigan@bellsouth.net. We would love to hear from you, and in that subject line just put radio and we'll not delete it. We'll be sure to listen and look at it, and we'd love to hear from you. If you would like to have one or both of the CDs of the trio singing, there's a way you can get that. If you'll just contact me, just send me a letter or email me, and we'll be sure to get that information to you. It's our prayer and desire to be a blessing to you through these radio broadcast. And so, neighbor, would you pray for us? The Lord will help us as we endeavor to do His will. Well, we want to listen to the trio as they sing a song here. I'm glad that He's more than enough, but praise God, I'm glad that He gets sweeter to me also. And so every day, Jesus just gets a little bit sweeter. You listen to the trio as they sing.
Since I started on this journey, peace flows over my soul.
For about 46 and a half years now, I've been walking with Him, and ever since that day He saved me by His marvelous grace, I can surely and truly say to you that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Oh, what a joy it is to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and what a privilege we have to be able to work in His service, and especially to be able to bring these radio broadcasts pass to you from week to week. Well, our theme for this year is pleasing God, and the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, neighbor, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's not an improbability. The Bible says that it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think about Psalm 23, verse number 1, where the psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Thank God, I'm glad that we can think of God in the present tense. I'm glad that God is more than enough. I'm glad that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to ask or even think. I'm glad that God today is able to sustain us. I'm glad today that God is able to provide for us. I'm glad that God is able to protect us. I'm glad that God is able to preserve us. I'm glad that God is able to give us power that we might live for Him day by day. Now, as we look into the book of Hebrews for the next little while, it's our desire to show you over these radio broadcasts how faith operated in the lives of a great deal of people in Hebrews chapter 11. Fact is, in Hebrews chapter 11, you have the most complete book on faith that there is in the Bible. There are character after character after character of whom the Bible says by faith. Oh, beloved, it shows us how faith operated in the lives of these various and different people in the Bible. And so, if faith is so important in our pleasing God, beloved, I believe we ought to want to know everything that we can know about it. And so here we find in this chapter there is this complete a lineup of faith. And here we get a glimpse of the presence, the principle, and the power, and the possibility of faith as it operates in the lives of different men and women who are mentioned here in the Bible. Now, the marvelous thing about this is, neighbor, that these were all ordinary men and women. Oh, beloved, aren't you glad that God is interested in ordinary men and women? I'm glad because there are so many of us, my dear friend, that are just ordinary people. And I'm glad that in these days there is a message from God that God operates in the lives of ordinary men and women. Oh yes, I'm talking to you out there in your home today, maybe riding down that road in your automobile. Maybe the devil has sneaked up to you and whispered in your ear that God's not interested in you, that God doesn't care anything about you. But I'm here to tell you today that God does love you. And the Bible teaches us that God operated in the lives of ordinary people. And so it's these ordinary men and women, my dear friend, that were sinners. Yes, I want to tell you they were sinners. But my dear friend, the Bible tells us that faith operated in their life simply because they believed God. Faith is that indispensable quality for which God is looking. My dear friend, God's not so much interested and how tall you are, how short you are, how much education you have, how much abilities you have. I'll tell you the one thing that God's looking for in your life and mine. Whether you be a preacher, whether you just be sitting in the pew, or whether, my dear friend, you're rich or poor, whether you're from uptown or downtown, I'll tell you God is looking for that quality of faith in your life. He's looking for that quality of faith in my life. And my dear friend, though that faith be small, I want to tell you it is that faith that God is looking for in our lives. And so here these people that God was looking for faith in their life. Now, the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that in the life of the Christian, the principle of faith is operative. My dear friend, I'm glad today that you and I can walk with God just like Enoch walked with God hundreds of years ago. We can work for God just like Noah worked for God hundreds of years ago. My dear friend, I'm glad today. Someone said years ago, a preacher friend of mine said something like this. He said, America has her astronauts and Russia has her cosmonauts. nots. But I'm glad that God has his was nots. For the Bible says that Enoch was not, for God took him. Oh, my friend Enoch so walked with God by faith and pleased God that one day he just walked on off with God. Oh, what a blessing and a joy it is to know that you and I can still walk with God in our day. Yes, my friend, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't make any difference what your calling in life is or what you're busy doing. I'm glad that if you'll turn your face toward God and by faith you can walk with him. And so, my friend, for you and I that are saved, faith is operative in our life. But in the lives of those that are unsaved, faith is not present. I want to say to you, there's a multitude of people out there in the world today trying to walk with God, and they're not able to do so because faith is not present in their life. And so, my friend, it's my desire today to point to you some reasons and some things that the Bible teaches us of what faith is all about. Now, the first man of faith who's mentioned is Abel. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we read these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That is, by faith they obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so, my dear friend, here we find, as we look at Abel, we see that it was his faith which enabled him to approach God and to worship God acceptably. I want to say to you, my friend, there is a way that we can approach God. There's two ways that you can approach God. One is the right way and one is the wrong way. And I want to say to you, they that are out there in this world today saying that, well, just anybody can approach God in any way they want to, my friend, that's not what this Bible teaches us. There are only two ways to approach God. That's the right way and the wrong way. And we read about Abel, that Abel approached God the right way. Now, my dear friend, somewhere back there in the Garden of Eden, God must have taught Adam and Eve about his plan. God must have taught Adam and Eve about a blood sacrifice. Remember there in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve had sinned against God, they went out and hid themselves. They sewed fig leaves together, my friend, typifying the righteousness of man and trying to hide from God behind those fig leaves. I wonder how many there are in our churches today that are sitting in our churches trying to hide from God behind a songbook, trying to hide from God behind a teacher's place, trying to hide from God through a deaconship, trying to hide from God through a preacher, trying to hide from God through some way. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, there was no hiding place. God saw right through their fig leaves. God saw their nakedness. And so the Bible says that God took it upon himself and slew some little innocent animals and brought the blood. My dear friend, shed their blood and brought those coats of skin and clothed Adam and Eve in those coats of skin. And so Adam and Eve must have taught their boys that there is a way to approach God. You can't approach God in your own righteousness. You can't approach God by your own doings. And we'll see that in this man Cain. But my friend Abel no doubt heard and learned the lesson that mom and dad had taught him, that without shedding of blood there's no remission of sin. And if you're going to approach God, it's going to have to be his way. It's going to have to be through God's plan. It's going to have to be through God's program. I want to tell you, my dear friend, you can't just be religious and approach God. I want to say to you, the only way you can approach God is to be righteous, and the only way you can be righteous is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. I'm glad that God makes much of the blood. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so Abel came and brought a blood sacrifice unto the Lord. And God accepted that. My dear friend, it was Abel walking by faith. By faith, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And then we find that Cain brought to God an offering also. But Cain's offering God would not accept because it was the labor of his hands. It might have been the very best grain that he grew in his field. It could have been the very best vegetables that he grew in his garden. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, these were things that were by his own effort. And nowhere in the Bible does God teach us that we can come to him by our own efforts, by our own strength. My dear friend, you can't approach God on your goodness. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God." And so, my friend, here we have Abel. Here we have Cain. Cain tried to approach God with the works of his hands, and God rejected that. But Abel came to God, and my friend brought the sacrifice that God required, which was the blood, and God accepted his sacrifice. This is the exercise of faith. And so, my dear friend, Abel exercised faith by acknowledging his sin and his need for God's forgiveness. Have you ever done that, neighbor? Have you ever acknowledged your sin before God? Have you ever looked into the face of God and smote on your breast as that old publican did and cried, "God, would you be merciful to me, the sinner?" Oh, my dear friend, Abel exercised faith by acknowledging his sin. Old John Newton got it right in that song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Neighbor, I'm glad to be able to come over the airways today and say to you that God is in the business of saving sinners. The Bible tells us in John 1:12, "But unto as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name." I'm glad the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 22 and 23, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm glad the Bible tells us in the gospel of Luke, "For Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost." And so here, as Abel brought his blood sacrifice unto God, he was acknowledging his sin and his need of forgiveness. Oh, beloved, listen. There's no hint of any acknowledgement of sin with Cain. Oh, no, my dear friend, none whatsoever. But Abel's sacrifice and offering spoke not only of a man's sin, but also of God's remedy for sin. I'm glad that God has a remedy for sin. Oh, there's still power. Oh, neighbor, I'm so glad today. There's a song that we sing sometime that simply says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain." Thank God, neighbor, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." I'm glad that Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And I say to you, Cain and Abel are the Old Testament counterparts of the Pharisee and the publican. Remember in Luke chapter 18, that old Pharisee, he came up to the temple and he began to pray something like this, "God, I'm glad that I'm not as other men." Oh, my dear friend, I want to tell you, that'll never get it. He would never acknowledge his sin before God. He never acknowledged his need of forgiveness. But that old publican smote on his breast. He could not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." I want to tell you, that's the man that God heard. That's the Abel that we're looking at in the Bible. That is the decision of faith. The man that's willing to acknowledge his sin. The man that's willing to acknowledge his need for God's forgiveness. And I want to say to you out there listening to this radio broadcast today, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the Holy Ghost, good Holy Ghost, it's my desire that he'll convict you of your sin, not so much of what you've done, but what you are. I want to tell you, my dear friend, some of you out there listening today, the reason you can't get away from that alcohol, the reason you can't get away from those drugs, the reason you can't get away from that immorality is because you've never saw yourself for what you are. You've never realized that you're the problem. You're always blaming somebody else. You're always pointing the finger at somebody else. But why don't you go and stand in front of the mirror and look at that fella that's looking back at you. Look at that woman that's looking back at you, my friend, and realize that that's the person, that's the problem. It's you, my dear friend, that needs forgiveness. And so the Holy Ghost of God comes to convict the world of sin. That is singular. That is of what you are. And my friend, until you're changed from what you are, until you're willing to acknowledge your sin, until you're willing to acknowledge your need for God's forgiveness, you'll never do any better than you're doing now. But thank God, I'm glad, my dear friend, when one comes to God and just looks up and says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, would you forgive me, the sinner? God, I need your forgiveness. I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, would you come in? Thank God, I'm glad that He will. He will come in. And so, my dear friend, we find that one was proud and he was rejected. The other was humble and he was accepted. One was blind in his sin and full of self-righteousness, and the other acknowledged his need of God's forgiveness. Neighbor, have you ever done that? Have you ever acknowledged your need of God's forgiveness? And I want to say to you, my dear friend, Abel exercised faith by recognizing that no work or effort of his could gain him acceptance before God. Oh, my friend, listen. Here's the way you must come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Jesus I cling. Neighbor, I want to tell you, there's nothing that we could ever bring to God that would be acceptable to Him, but only that which God does in us. I'm glad, my friend, that there's nothing that we can do. I'm glad that God's done it all, and He did it there on that cross of Calvary. Thank God it's there, where the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, my friend, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. All the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Oh, something in my hand I bring is what Cain was saying. Cain brought his best, but it was not acceptable unto God. And then I want you to notice that Abel exercised faith by providing an offering that foreshadowed the great offering for sin. As Abel brought his offering, he might have prayed, Oh God, I am a sinner. I've broken thy law. I deserve to die for my sin. But you didst give my father and mother a promise of the coming one who is to take away our sin. And I come to thee in the way by which thou hast commanded to show thee that I believe thy promise and trust the coming one. Oh, my dear friend, he was simply saying, I'm trusting the God of my mama. I'm trusting the God of my dad that provided a sin offering for them, that shed blood for them, that gave coats of skin to them, that clothed them, my dear friend, in the righteousness of another. I'm glad that John, standing on the banks of the River Jordan one day, looked up the banks of the river and he saw Jesus coming down the banks of the River Jordan. And John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God, neighbor, I'm glad that I bowed on my face one day before a righteous and a holy God. I'm glad that about 45 and a half years ago, I cried, God, would you forgive my sin? Oh, God, would you come into my heart? Would you save me, Lord? And I'm glad that God did. And so, my dear friend, I've been rejoicing in His salvation ever since. I've been rejoicing in what God has done on that cross. I'm rejoicing in what God is doing now on my behalf in heaven. And I'm rejoicing in what God's going to do in my tomorrows. Thank God, neighbor, I'm glad that I made that decision one day, or to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior and be saved. And Abel exercised faith by accepting God's testimony that he was righteous. By faith, that is, by the offering of his faith, led him to bring. Oh, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. This means that Abel believed that through his offering, God had accepted him and justified him. Abel's faith, therefore, brought him the assurance of salvation. Neighbor, I want to ask you today, are you sure that you're saved? believe? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Neighbor, until next time, may the good Lord bless you. I trust that God will continue to work in your heart. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn to him, my dear friend, ask him to forgive you. I'm glad that he will. Oh, beloved, unto as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. Would you right now call upon the name of the Lord? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart? If you're saved today, would you ask the Lord to help you, strengthen you as you walk in your journey with him from day to day? God bless you, neighbor. Until next time.